how very much what your word really means to us. We pray that you will teach us how we can respond to it the way we should. And so we pray that you will give to us the wisdom that we need to fathom your word and see its application. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we turn to the book of Deuteronomy 17 now, and we're making quite a bit of advancements at this point of time here. This is important. Okay? Now, if you need to capture the whole book at one glance at all times, you've got to bear this in mind at all the times, okay? So otherwise, you read one and you miss out the whole, we really miss out so much. Okay? So there were laws for the country. There were judicial laws, there were ceremonial laws, there were spiritual laws. All these things are vital. Right? So even without kings, if everybody followed the Lord's word properly, consciously, you don't need a king. That's a big if. Conditional idea, if. But, you know, it doesn't always work that way because, unfortunately, the part of us, the structure, the human being, is we all need to be led. It works better when we are led, obviously. Right? And this is something that is very obvious. So whether it is in the animal kingdom, that is always a leader. The birds will fly V-shaped. One person is the leader. Can we all go? No. And very wisely, the leader makes it and streams it, and everybody goes that way. Now, that is interesting. In the days when Lance Armstrong, before he was disgraced, I used to read about racing and see how this guy, why do they ride the way they do? It's called a peloton. And there's wisdom behind it. It's actually, how do you shield the leader? The whole lot of them actually shields the leader who's going to win. So they ride. So some people will crash into you to make you lose. But you've got to do it cleverly, so that you won't appear as if you are attacking the person. Right? How do you protect the leader? You protect the leader with the peloton. Now that's interesting. So they always write in a group. So there are always these things here, but technically, they were actually there. So there were judicial laws, there were ceremonial laws, there were religious laws, there were spiritual laws, there were individual application, and so on and so forth. It's all there. There were laws concerning prophets and judges, you name them, it's all there. Right? But sooner or later, the desire to be a monarchy will come. And we're going to see a little bit about this idea of the monarchy. Okay, and you'll see this in verse 14. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it, and you dwell in it, and you say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. Now, that is a problem, obviously. You see, we're part of the world system. Okay, so you need to have some kind of form. And in the world today, there are obvious forms of political government. Right? So we have the so-called Communist Party. And where everybody is equal, except that some are more equal than other equals. Right? So this is George Orwell's Animal Farm, kennel. Four legs good, two legs not so good. And so you end up with all kinds of situation. That's very, very obvious. So that is right now there is a military exercise between China and Russia. How many troops are in this military exercise from Russia itself? A staggering 300,000. 6,000. We go, Casey was aware of this part of it. 300,000 soldiers are going to be involved. 1,000 aeroplanes are going to be on display. They're going to show you how modern our weapons are. And the Chinese are roped in, and they're there. Chinese army is actually bigger. But in terms of such an exercise, the Chinese people have no idea how to run an exercise this size. And they are learning. Being Chinese, they were always going, yeah, yeah, we can do it. And then they learn along the way, and then they steal your secrets. And they have been doing this for the rest of their lives. I mean, for all this while, and that's how it is. So today I work with you in a factory, tomorrow I set up my own. That is how it has been, unfortunately. That is the problem right over here. Can you see what we are looking at over here? So I'm going to be like the other king. Now, there are the monarchies. But today's modern monarchy is cut the ribbon, say a few words, and things like that, collect rent. Prince Charles does farming, organic farming, and he's made quite a success out of it, and so on and so forth. Well, that's it. And kind of unfortunate. So it's Parliament who must do it. So it's Parliament here. So Republican kind of thing here. So partly it's monarchy with a, you know, with a it's a Republican parliamentary with a monarch. We don't have. So we call it our president. So we call it a republic. Right? But one way or the other, it's sort of there. Okay? So, of course, they are the so-called dictator, the despotes, the despot. Actually, it's a good word. Originally, it just simply means the leader. That's it. Okay, so the person who is a leader is an archaeon. Actually, he's a prince. It's actually a good word. But along the way, it becomes a bad word. And so you have a bit of a problem. So Fidel Castro, the Cuba. I wonder how they survive. He smoked so many cigars. And yet they have survived all these years. So, but that's what it is. But so everybody wants to look at it. What is our history like? So in Thailand, the king is still there. He still is revered. Japan, the emperor is still there, although he wants to step down. But they haven't found an alternative. They don't really need him. Neither can they do without him. See, this becomes, you get caught in historical situation. It's part of history, and it's going to be. But over here, it's new. They have not had a king. Right? But so here comes a situation where you come and then you say to yourself, I will set a king over me. That all the kingdoms that are just like all the. Who is your leader? Nobody. How can you say that? They say there is no prestige, there is no pride. What is your king like? How tall is your king? And so on and so forth. They all take pride in these things here. A story is told of old India. Of two kings, you were going to cross the bridge at the same time. And both are not going to give way. So king number one says, my king is his age. So age has a precedence. The person said, same birthday, same year. Oh yeah, so cannot. So how? They went on further. He has got so many elephants. He's got so many horses. He's got so many soldiers. Hey, same tally. Now, it became a problem. And then one said, my king does not kill his enemies. He forgives them. And the other one said, he is a greater king. Please move, because I killed my enemies. So on what basis would you see greatness? You see, so this is how a king is. You bring a king in, he adds prestige to the kingdom, to the nation. right? So Solomon added a lot of prestige because of his wealth, because of his power, because of his wisdom. So that is the idea. And every country needs some kind of booster, some kind of pick-me-up. Otherwise, you're going to be a swamp, unfortunately. Okay, so this is something that we need to... So there, the nation desires to be like other nations. And this would be your criteria. Okay, now watch this criteria over here. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. Now let's begin with choice, not calling. Everybody may feel I'm called to be king. That very dangerous stuff. It's chosen, not calling. Right? So this is where you have a choice over here. One from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. Now, so the criteria is established. Watch this criteria, and it's absolutely important. There's guidelines that we are, okay? One, it must be one whom God chooses. In other words, you have to ask the Lord, Lord, is this the one? Right? So if the... That's how it begins. So you must look at what the Lord chooses. Okay, one from among your brethren. Rule number one, you cannot have a foreigner. Thus, Singapore, we say, please don't bring in foreign historians to tell us about our history. This is as biblical as you can get, because they're going to tell us nonsense. Obviously. It's always a biblical thing. Sometimes I really, you know, you're pretty amazed at some of the things that we have. It's actually quite biblical. Right? So you have this. Don't get a foreigner to come and tell us what to do, because we are going to go crazy. Obviously. So this is a safe thing here. Okay? One from among your brethren you shall set as king over. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother, obviously. That is a safeguard. Once you have, even if it's a brother, it is not a total safeguard. One who is not a brother, he is going to fleece you, obviously. I mean, that is so obvious. Right? I mean, even in India, Sonia Gandhi, origin, Italy. She is a faithful wife of the Rahul Gandhi, and then the husband died because he was assassinated. Somebody presented some flowers to him. It was a bomb, and he died. No matter how faithful she is, even when a party became to won the polls election, very wisely, she said, "I will not be the prime minister." Till today, she is not accepted. She is a foreigner. You may be citizen. You may be matriarch in the Congress Party. You may have sacrificed, not that I've seen any sacrifice, for the country, whatever it is. You'll never be accepted. Ground feel all the time. That is a problem, obviously. Right? So wisely, the Lord warned them. Okay, I tell you, you don't know whom to choose, right? I will guide you how to choose. Okay? One who is a foreigner will never be able to fit right in. Obvious. Well, this is something that is very, very, very obvious. We do this also very carefully in anything. You cannot get a foreigner. The person may be a Harvard, Cambridge graduate from Timbuktu and elect a person. Can't. It's going to be a real problem. You have to walk very, very carefully. Okay? Now, we go on further. What he should not do, prohibitions. He shall not multiply forces for himself. Now, that is a problem. Why? What's wrong with having a horse or two? You see, you know, it's not just a horse or two. It's just that in the early days, horses, the cavalry was the elite thing here. You have no idea. Some of this, the Babylonians, you know why they were so powerful? Because they're horses. The book of Job, we read about horses. They're so powerful. Man and horse are one. Many stories told of Bucephalus, who is the horse of Alexander the Great. You cannot separate him from his horse. There's one Filipino story told many, many years ago about how the horse and was blended, and the man was hungry. He was caught, he was thrown into prison. But they didn't feed him, wanting him to be starved to death. But he was never hungry because the horse was eating. You see, the symbiosis is almost frightening to see. So this is the idea. So when you multiply horses, the danger is that you begin to attach meaning, power, glamour, glory. You never stop. It could be camels in those days. I mean, horses were there. But camels were there, and that is absolutely important. And horses being what they are, many, many years ago, Singapore used to have those circus would come to Singapore. And in those days they had animal acts. Nowadays, virtually nothing. You don't have animals. So you have lions, you have tigers, you have horses, and you have different animals. And then you got trainers. And then ever since the incident in Las Vegas where the person was mauled by his tiger, they stopped that completely. And of course, animal rights. Okay, and then why don't you get the lion be the trainer and you jump? And then so and so forth. Well, that became a problem. But horses, it's difficult because we are not very much horse interested. But this horses thing in the early days is such a fetish. How much would you pay for a horse? How much can a horse cost? It's more expensive than your Mercedes. And you've got to maintain the horse. A good race horse can cost up to $1 million. But he's got to win you money. And they're bred. And they're specially bred for horse racing, for fighting. Not just an old nag. Okay, nobody is going to multiply old necks. No, this is not talking. We are talking war horses. We are talking building a cavalry. Now, there's a little bit of cavalry and cavalry, okay? Now, this one is, but see, this is, Egypt was feared because they added a little carriage to horse. So it became a chariot. Then it began inventing with spokes that can cut other people. And then one horse chariot, two horses, and so forth. It became more and more. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you'll be always thinking about horses, not ruling. That becomes a danger. That's why I say, stop. Everybody has hobbies. My hobby, horse. And they will be traveling all over the place to look for horses. Where are the best horses? Babylon. Old area. Bad is good. How well? Fine. There are many, many, many types of horses. Right? The Spanish horses are very famous for dancing. And they can dance to music. And it's pretty amazing that they can be trained to do that, but they are useless for war. All the NBDs do is find a music and they will be dancing. So those horses were draped, they were dressed in fearsome garb, and the horses can attack their enemy. Once you start depending on horses, you are no longer going to depend upon God as much. Prohibition, don't even start. That's the best. Don't start. Don't look at horses, and that becomes a problem. Don't multiply horses, okay? Now, this is important. Nor cause the people to return to Egypt, right? To multiply horses. That is a problem. One of the most powerful, Egypt had the finest cavalry, the light cavalry. They had chariots. And you can have 200 chariots and you can mow an enemy 50,000 down with just these 200 chariots. The very horses that they have, that the chariots, caused terror among the opponents, the enemies. That's how it was. And so you see them dressed in ways and means that it scares you to death. This idea of war paints and make yourself look as horrible as possible, all kinds of masks, all kinds of headgears, all kinds of shields, and horses were part of the whole setup. And that is kind of pretty dangerous, but actually it's there, and it's very, very real. Right? So you take a look at some of these things here. Don't multiply. Don't cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord said, you shall not return that way again. So going to Egypt was always convenient. You know, it's those who want to return to the causeway. Okay, let's go. And don't come back. You see, it's always... Oh, we are bigger, we are stronger because of sheer numbers. Same concept. Don't ever return there again. 1965, never go back. August the 9th. This is important because we sang Majula Singapura, we sang Nigaraku, I sang God Save the Queen. So I sang all three. Now, I only sing one now, not all three. Of course, America the Beautiful, also with the children, but not in my heart. It was a very hard song to sing. Suddenly, he goes out there. And that one requires a voice ability which is just no longer my range. And there we see. You see, so there are lots of these things that you have to think of. The danger is to return to Egypt. Egypt is famous, the cucumber. We remember the cucumber. Why you remember the cucumber? What is so great about Egyptian cucumber? Well, next time Singapore imports cucumber from Egypt, maybe we will know. But the Japanese cucumber, cute ones. American cucumber is like zucchini. And zucchini is not cucumber. So this man, zucchini just blossoms like anything. Just grows fruitfully all the time. Until he was just coming out of his ears. So they put on there, zucchini, free. Nobody wants to take it. So one day he decided to make a big sign. Put a zucchini on a chair. Free! So he watched in the evening, saw what happened. The fellow took the chair. Because he says free. So he, free, right? So he took the chair, the zucchini nobody wants. But Egypt has got many things that people like. The danger is you have a king who's always thinking, Egypt, and Egypt will swallow you up. It will. It's a matter of... So be very, very careful. Why do they need you? Well, Egypt's influence was very strong. Don't ever go back there again. Whatever reasons, horses, they have got beautiful Egyptian steeds. Not this is ancient Egypt, okay? Not present-day Egypt. This isn't. No longer. Egypt is in serious trouble. The economy is in serious trouble. It's in a really bad state right now. Right? So Egypt is not where it is. The pyramids are in danger of collapsing. They're not maintaining it well. So the industry there, that they're trying to restrict people from going there, and the corruption is there, and the swine fever is there. The people who keep the pigs are actually the Christians. And recently, about 2 years ago, they call it swine fever. Actually, nothing to do with pigs. So they say, this is swine fever, right? So we must kill all the swine. And all the Christians were just bankrupt because they killed all the pigs. And they were not compensating. And it's painful. So don't go to Egypt. They won't see the ancient. So they were just recent memory. Let's go back. So if you were a small country, Egypt looks like it's going to offer you protection, advice. This is how you can build your army. You know, you should have horses. By the way, we have the best horses. You want to deal. And you're going to get sucked back in. Whatever it is, don't go back to Egypt for whatever reason. The king must understand this. Okay, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself. Now that is another problem. Okay, the only person to his credit that didn't multiply wives was King Saul. Right? But he was pretty preoccupied with something else. And he was very, very preoccupied with maintaining his kingdom, trying to keep it for his children, trying to do everything to preserve the kingdom. But, you know, it was a really sad situation. But for David and Solomon and all the other kings, some of them had as many as 70 children. And not from one wife. She would have died long ago. She had attempted to have 70 children. She would have died, obviously. Okay? So this is very, very obvious. Okay? Now, the reasons are there. Lest his heart turn away. The influence of the wife is very great, although it is not obvious, but it is very, very, very powerful. And if you have multiplied wives, and so a story is told of this Indian man who couldn't afford too many wives, only two. One old, one young. That was his mistake. So the young one saw white hair. Hey, you look like a father to me. Must pull out all the white. So only the black remained. So the old wife said, how can? Then you be like my son. I be like your mother. So pull out the black. So between the black and the white, there was nothing left. And so it became a bit of a problem. So be careful. Don't multiply wives. One old, one young is a mistake that you don't need to make. You can't afford to make. Of course, you will save some money. No more shampoo needed and no more other things. But that is something that you have to be very, very wise about. So obviously. So don't multiply wives. Now, one other thing. Don't multiply silver and gold for himself. And that is a problem. So, I mean, it's sometimes just the insane money. This a CBS chief who's going to be sacked, resign or not. And if the allegation doesn't prove to be true, he is going to get $100 million. So in the last few years that he has been CBS chief and all that, he has a massive fortune of $700 million. So that makes him a billionaire straight away in Singapore. How did you get there? And that's pretty dangerous stuff. See, it can corrupt all the way. So don't multiply silver or gold. That is something that you need to look at very, very carefully. Right? So horses, obviously here we are looking at wives, and then looking at money, don't be. Now, how do you look at it? I mean, just to give you a text in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Okay, let's look at this very carefully. And so we see this, and this is something that we need to look at. Okay? Let's look at verse 7. Where the idea of covetousness is associated with idolatry. Wow. A person who is covetous is classified as an idolater. That's serious. That's a serious statement. See, that's the whole problem. So the danger is the money draw. Ephesians 5, 7. And we look at this, very, very obvious. So unfortunately, people like money. Well, that's what the Lord warned. I cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. And so we want to start serving mammon. That has become your idol. And that idol will make you an idolater, which is an abomination to God. So we have to be very, very, very careful about that. So it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom. Now, this is what he should do. Okay, what he should not do, the certain things that must do. Wow, that is. And so far, actually, no king has actually ever done that. Right? To actually do this and put it into full practice. It shall be when he sits on his throne, he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book. David, you should have done that. You should have looked into that. Samuel wrote a book of how the behavior of kings. Chances are he expanded Deuteronomy 17. We wish we can find that book. What did he write to King Saul to guide him? Right? But that book is lost. It shall, he will sit on the throne. He shall write for himself a copy of this book from one of the priests, the Levites. Okay? So you need to be a literate king. Now, this is important. Literacy is not to be taken for granted. Not everybody is literate. You cannot have an illiterate king. Then when I first went to Burma 20 years ago, they had illiterate pastors. How do you become a pastor when you are illiterate? I cannot read. I don't want to read. How can you do that? Same. How can you not be literate? Question is, how literate? So if the less I know, the less I am able to function. You have to know. Right? So this is important. So you must write for yourself a copy of this law. Put it into a book, codex. And then you must, not just, okay, I've done my part, I copied already. Right? There are only 39 books, and it shall be with him. Okay, be with him, not a spear, please. Not good to throw a book. It won't go very far. Spear can go further, but don't throw spears. This is a book you have to have with you. And he shall read it all the days of his life. Now, that's it. He shall read it all the days of his life. On which day shall I read? Every day that ends with letter Y. That's how, which day you are to read. And that's what it is. You've got to read. Right? So you've got to get it written. It's got to be with you. Not just, okay, I got it written. I don't read. No point. It's got to be, you've got to read this. Right? So this is absolutely important. All the know. For what purpose? Why read the Bible? Why read the scriptures? Now, this is important. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. So I'm going to watch very carefully. Got to learn to fear. The fear of the Lord is not easily learned. There are so many aspects of the fear of the Lord that must be discovered. And it is not just wisdom. It has got so many, many multifaceted aspects that must be given due consideration. So as I read, then you begin to realize, wow, I fear the Lord. And if I don't learn how to fear the Lord because I don't read, you actually don't fear the Lord. We fail already as a king. So did Saul read the Lord's word? Not likely. Right? So Samuel wrote a book for him. I'm not sure that he actually read it. From the likes of it, you don't think so, that he actually ever had any idea how to fear the Lord. Okay? Not only that, to be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. Wow. There we go. See, how do you be a king when you don't do this? So a king, you see what you must not do. Okay, you cannot multiply horses. So you've got to spend a lot of time training them. You've got to spend a lot of time bonding with them. Horse whisperer. You've got to spend a lot of time going to war with them. You've got to spend a lot of time. That is important. Now, this happens. That is really, really, really tough. Okay, then of course, multiply. Once you start counting money, king is in his counting house, counting all his money. And you won't stop. I got two pieces of gold, one piece of silver. Two pieces of gold, one piece of silver. Oh, I forgot. Let's count again. And it's going to go, you're going to go crazy looking at the money part of it. So from one horse, you have now a chariot group, the cavalry group, then you've got a horseman to sit with them, you've got to buy the provender, you've got to look after them, you've got to get a vet to look after them, you've got to go and train them, you've got to look, this is the purchase, this is a special breed, you've got to breed them. It will consume all your time. Money, so you need to have look at money all the time. And it becomes another problem. Right? Becomes pretty scary. So, okay, now you've got a bit more time. You free up a bit more time. What should you do? Read the scriptures. For what reason? But I already read it. You may have read it, but do you fear the Lord as you read? Because if I don't fear the Lord after I have read, what have I read? I mean, it's very obvious. Right? So this becomes a real challenge. Okay, now that I have read, you see, so I've written with me, read, learn to fear the Lord, and then observe all the laws that are there. Practice it. Now that becomes a real challenge. So because if I'm not practicing it, I'm going to fail so many things to do as a king. Many people think that monarchy is so easy to be king, just go and cut ribbons. No, it's not. There's a lot more thing than you realize. And that becomes a real challenge. Right? And then we read in verse 20 that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. That happens almost all the time. That's why the old saying, power corrupts. And total power corrupts totally. Because who's there to stop you? Who's there to stop you from doing whatever you like? And suddenly you rise above. So that happened to King Saul. Whatever he wants, I will take. I will take a part of your produce. I will take your children. I will take your daughters. I will take your sons. They will become my servants. They will become my soldiers. I will take. What's there to stop him? Who's there to stop him? His heart is lifted above his people. Right? That happens. Now let's take a look at one of the kings that happened. Not just King Saul, but let's look at one kings. And we'll see the fall. And this is what happens over here in 1 Kings. This is the period of after King Solomon. And his wife turned away his heart very, very obviously. And then we read in 1 Kings chapter 11. We read, right? And Solomon, we see this, his heart was not loyal. Verse 4, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. Wives. There we go. 2, his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. See what happens. Okay, and then we read, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. He did evil and did not wholly follow the Lord. There we go. Did not wholly follow the Lord. Okay, then he built a high place for Chemosh, abomination of Moab, Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon, and likewise for all his foreign wives. That's scary. Jerusalem, Israel, had become a place where idolatry is now rampant. See, you forgot all the prohibitions. You forgot to read the Lord's word. There was no fear of the Lord. He was not loyal. He was not doing what he needed to do. Just like that. And he fell. One lifetime in 40 years, and he was gone. So the Lord became angry with Solomon. Jeremiah 44, we read, fury and anger. That is the language. His heart had turned from the Lord, who had appeared to him twice, commanded him concerning that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. And so he said, because you have done this, I will tear the kingdom away from you. Those words were said to King Saul. I will tear the kingdom from you. Just 2 kings away. I will tear the kingdom from you. Wow. So that is the problem. Nevertheless, I will not do it for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Okay? For the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Now, chapter 11, let me go on further. Okay, so there was adversary raised up against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. Edom is from Esau. Hadad the Edomite. That's one problem. Okay, so this was happened. When David was in Edom, and Joab the commander had gone up to bury the slain after he killed every male in Edom. Because for 6 months, Joab remained there with all Israel until he had cut down every male in Edom that Hadad fled to go to Egypt. He and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him were still a little child. David was also responsible. Why no control of Joab? These generals were getting out of hand. And though it became a problem. And so all the Edomites were slain, except for a few. And they grew up again. What are you doing? So when people fail to read the Lord's word diligently, carefully cultivating, why do we read the Lord's word? To build this fear of the Lord. And if it is not there, we are on dangerous grounds. Obviously. But that's what we are seeing. Okay, so this is one of them. So Hadad heard that Egypt had rested with his father. So he says, I'm going to go to my own country. So then raise up another adversary, Rezon and Hadadezer from his lord over there. So he gathered men to himself, became captain over a band of raiders when David killed those of Zobah. And he reigned in. So the adversaries that were there in David's time came back to haunt him in Solomon's time. Wow. See, there was no following through. And so the problem came out. Because David was too powerful. But Solomon was not. So we came back. So God raised it up. And then, of course, that is Jeroboam. Okay, now let's look at chapter 12. So the Rehoboam came. How do you advise me to answer? They consulted the elders. How do you advise me? He said, well, if you will be a servant to these people, remember, he should not be lifted up. If you will serve the people and answer them, speak good words, they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice, consulted a young man who had grown up with him. And how shall we answer? And so the young man who had grown up spoke to him. Thus you should speak to the people. Your father made our yoke heavy. You make it lighter to us. You shall say, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. Wow. How fat a finger is that? Right? How fat is Solomon? 40 inches. Let's say he go fat. Do not imagine him to be a slim 28 or 30 feet young man. It's every year add a little bit inch. So by the time he ruled for 40 years, 40 inches. So he's on the large side. And that is being nice to him. He could have been 60. I mean, he could have been really big. And my finger shall be, whoa, this is arrogance all the way. My father's put a heavy yoke on you. I will add to your work yoke. My father chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scourges. A whip with a sharp tail. I will flail you and take off your skin. That's what he was saying. This is Rehoboam. The kingdom was split. So all the words of advice right now in Deuteronomy 17 was meant to preserve the kingdom. They chose Saul, not God's choice. God's choice, but David did all the things which he should not have. Horses, soldiers, wealth, wives, you name it. And then, who will reap what he has sown? Solomon. And the kingdom after Solomon was gone. So here is David, nicely put. That's you did not follow me as your father David. Not that he was a great example. But you see, when you look at something bad, this is already very good. And that did not happen. So this fell on deaf ears. Okay? Heart lifted up. So 1 Kings 12. Rehoboam. Okay? Don't turn to the commandment to the right hand or to the left. That he may prolong his days. That is not going to happen. Remember, you don't measure it only in terms of length, although length is not to be ignored. But it's a danger, obvious danger. Right? So that's why we read the Word of God and we apply the same principles that was meant to be. So as you look at this whole idea of it all, okay? And look at a king. So you look at Isaiah 32 and you will see what happens when there is a good king and how it should be for the whole nation if there is a good king. Right? And so this is where we read. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. This is Deuteronomy 17. And he will be aided by princes who will rule with justice. If a king has such able princes, what will be the man be like in the country? Now watch this beautiful description. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind. Wow. He will be like a cover from the tempest. They are now preparing for a hurricane, Florence, going to hit the Carolinas with over 200 miles velocity wind speed. Hurricane, the greatest danger is never the wind, it's the flooding that will come. Evacuation tomorrow, last day, move from the area. 1 million people are going to be moved out of their homes to prepare for a very severe flooding. 1 million people are going to move out from their home just like that over the next few days. The islands surrounding are going to be hit really badly. What will a man be? He will be, look at this, a cover, a time. It's like a hill that gives a protection, a hiding place from the wind, from the tempest. What shall a man be when a king rules well? He shall be like a rivers of water in a dry place. What can a man be in this kingdom? As a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You know, that has never existed. Unfortunately, this is what a man should be like. Do you want to be a man? You want to have a girlfriend? Be this man. Right? Girls, if you're looking for a man, look for a man like this. I'm not talking about width. Wow, this one looks like a mountain. Now, I'm not talking about size. I'm talking about heart. I'm talking about integrity. We're talking about, do you understand your role? This is what a man should be. Given a good king, giving a good kingdom, this is what a man should be like. Wow, that is a lofty idea as to what a man should be like. A hiding place. The Lord is our hiding place. The man is going to offer comfort and shelter. From the Lord will tell us, from him will flow rivers of living water, right? John 7, rivers, there we go. Rivers in a dry place. Look at this. As a shadow of a great rock, providing shelter. So the sun is mercilessly hot, but the man provides the shelter like a great rock. Wow, what a picture of a man. And that is something that is absolutely wonderful. Okay, so this is what we are seeing. And how wonderful it is to see. When the kingdom is well run, what will happen next? The eyes of those who see will not be dim. The idea is that of health. Right? Eyes of health. Even when you're old, your eyes are not dim. Oh, that's a wonderful picture of health. The ears of those who hear will listen. You have a whole country alert to whatever the king says. And rejoice, because the ears are listening and we can understand the wisdom of it all. And the heart of the rash will understand knowledge. This is what you don't want to do. Horses and silver and gold and whatnot. Not rash. And this is what we are looking at. And the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. The foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful. You see, in a land where people are so hard to give money, even the miser gives, who are very generous, $5. Wow, that is serious stuff. Unfortunately, that's how it works. Please don't be fooled into thinking that when people put their money and all those billions and give to charity and so on and so forth, they don't actually go to charity. They don't. They're just frozen into trusts. you can never touch them. And that's how it works. So the money is made to make more money, and from whatever interest is earned will go to charity. That money still technically still belongs to the people who own it. It's still after their name. So that is a donation of sorts. So don't be fooled by all these things. They're all in trusts. This is how it works. So sometimes in SF, a person inherits a lot of money and the taxes coming along, so they get somebody else, can I put this in your name? Then I will take the money from you. And that's how I escape. And then they are found out. And then they get a serious law case, lawsuits all the time. But lawsuits take several years, you see. So by the time you fight it all, you already die. It's really sad. The only people who are happy are the lawyers. So once you have a case like that, they start to order your yachts. That's how it works, unfortunately. Okay, you can order that one. And add another two or three BMWs. That's how they work. So they build by the hour. And that's how it works. So they rack up really millions, unfortunately. But they also pay the price. Many of them are drunks because they can't cope up with the pressure. Right? So these are important things for us. So you see the idea of the king and the princes, and then what will happen to the land? People will be healthy, they are happy. Even though they are old, they are still learning. You know, they are, you know, nobody's miserly. People are generous. There's plenty around. That is what happens when a country is ruled well. But that kind of dream is really a dream. It's unfortunate. A prophecy comes out in the form of a dream. You seldom really get to see what it is. Unfortunately. But it was meant to be like that. Israel was meant to be milk and honey. It wasn't. In Saul's reign, they couldn't even get anything done. If I want to sharpen my kitchen knife, I got to go to the Philistine. Can you sharpen my knife? Can I buy a sword to kill you? Of course not. So they have got, what kind of weapons do you have? Pitchfork. How do you fight the Philistines? Unfortunately. That is kind of unfortunate. Well, it happens all the time. Okay, so this is something that we need to... So in the days of Cromwell, William Cromwell, and that's when you get your parliament from England. This was the one who brought the monarchy down, William Cromwell. He wanted to run it. This idea of the parliament representation is actually very Presbyterian. So actually, the system of government there is actually Presbyterian because of William Cromwell's influence. Right? So the cavalry was raised up. And so there was a Cromwell's gang. A whole lot of them. Against a well-trained helmet. The cavalry was brought up. And the guy said, we'll be back for lunch. Don't worry. This won't take a few hours. So the morning they set up. William Cromwell was going to battle a cavalry that was very famous. How did they do? They went on to their knees. Thousands of them on their knees. Battle is the Lord's. It doesn't matter to the Lord whether to win by many or by few. The battle is the Lord's. Yes, the battle concluded before lunch, but it was the cavalry that lost. And William Cromwell won. It brought the monarchy down. The abuse was over. The parliamentarians were in. Now, England is going to be ruled by a parliament from here onwards. You see, so a kingdom can be brought down because they abandon the laws of God. Unfortunately, well, that's how it works. Okay, so let's really pay heed to the word of the Lord and pay attention that we may learn the fear of the Lord above everything else. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to listen and to pay attention and to read your word as we should. We pray that the lessons learned concerning kings and how they should rule would be words of advice we take heed to for our own heart's sake. Grant us your grace and your wisdom to know how to order our lives aright. Forgive our foolishness. Take away the sins that so trouble us. Help us to walk with you, to walk aright. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.